please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. I was listening to a message by someone this morning on this, and they were bringing forth, it was really neat how they brought it forth. They said, imagine, you know, here's Paul and his merry band of evangelists with him, and they go into Philippians, and do you know what? This is the first time the gospel stepped on European soil. First time. God's providence, the gospel's going to the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? So this book is pretty incredible that way. And if we had seen that first meeting on the banks of the river, we'd have thought maybe someone is out for a picnic with a bunch of friends, right? But here's these four men preaching to these ladies and others around there. And the Lord, what? Opened Lydia's heart. And she believed. But think of that, though. This is the first time the gospel's been preached in a European city. Isn't that incredible? And I found out, too, that the city was established by Philip IV, I think. You might not know him, but you might have heard about his son named Alexander the Great. So this was a pretty important city. And as I said last week, historically too, they say that if you visited Philippi, you basically visited a mini Rome. It was set up just like Rome. It was actually made to be like that, to be a copy of Rome, but just in smaller, a lot smaller scale. But still. And then it also had a very famous road that went from one portion of the empire, and it traveled through Philippi to another portion of the empire, and it was all one of the Roman paved roads by the engineers. And beloved, God used that road to bring Paul right into Philippi. And then the gospel spread like wildfire. And those roads, they were made for quick travel. Well, the gospel spread like wildfire all through the Roman Empire after that. Isn't that amazing how the Lord in his providence uses these things and we don't even always see it? So it's amazing. Okay, we're going to read Philippians chapter 3 verses, or Philippians chapter 1 verses 3 to 11. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident, this is our verse today, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Notice the verbiage here. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now these Philippians were going through several trials for their faith. They were going through trials from their family members, trials from the fact that they were former idol worshipers and now they're worshiping the one true God. And I want to say this. This life is attended with dangers for the born-again, blood-washed saint. Trials, tribulations come our way. It's attended with dangers. And I like what Spurgeon said. He said, the life of a Christian is a series of little miracles. Little miracles. You know why? Because God upholds us by his power. What would happen to us if God didn't uphold us? We'd all be gone, wouldn't we? We'd all fall away. We'd all be lost. Amen, Brother Dave. Because we never would have come to Christ in our natural state. And think of this, the new nature being born again, which is called a good work. In verse 6, that's regeneration. That's to be born again. So the new nature is kept alive, think of this, between the jaws of death, preserved by the power of God from instant destruction. Preserved by God. And think of this, the new nature couldn't exist except by divine power. As we saw in the text, and how do we know that? Well, look at what it says in the text. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at how the verbiage is so God-centered, so God-honoring. It gives him all the glory, doesn't it, Sister Carol? Gives him all the glory. It brings forth that he is the one who began this work, and he did it in us, which is to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And all who are redeemed, we learn more about our sin. Well, we're in this world. You know, I hear people saying all the time, oh, the sin people are doing. We learn more about our own sin, don't we? We learn, and we're in a world of a bunch of sinners, but we're chief. We're chief. And think about this. The more we learn about our sin and the sin in this world, we find ourselves, again, Spurgeon said this, like a defenseless dove flying to her nest. Well, 10,000 arrows are leveled against us. Think of this. Think of a dove flying in the, what a picture, a dove flying in the sky, and 10,000 arrows are shot all at once at one dove. And the Christian's life is like the anxious flight of that dove trying to get away from those arrows. Moving around, right? All these things that are coming at us. And the dove would thread its way through between those death-bearing shafts, because any shaft that would hit it would be death. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People all worked up about the people around us. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against princes and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And those death-bearing shafts, the fact that we are not hit by one of them through this life is a miracle of God. It's a miracle of God, beloved. Isn't that amazing? Oh, what comfort that can bring us. And then, here's another picture. The born-again pilgrim, the blood-washed pilgrim, which is every believer in Christ, is like a traveler traveling on a narrow summit of a mountain, on the top of a lofty mountain ridge. And on the right hand are gulfs unfathomable. And on the left hand is the same, gulfs unfathomable, just down, 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 like you were way up in that mountain, brother. You guys were way up in that mountain in the depths of the valley there. I've seen it out in Oregon, too. Huge mountains in the depths. Sheer. There was a road we used to drive on to go up to the top of a mountain, and there was a guardrail, and it was a sheer drop. Just a sheer drop as far as you could see. Well, there was a bottom down there, but it was real far down. So the The Christian traveler is, we're like on that high ridge of the high mountain, and all around us is danger. Danger all around us. My, oh my. And you know what? Our feet are made like hinds' feet. Our feet are made like hinds' feet. And we're able to stand on those high places, beloved. We would have long ago fallen to our destruction. But God's kept us. He who's able to start that work is able to keep us all through this life and then finish it. Yes, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. So let us always remember, as the scripture here says, this verse says, he that hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the end. Look at the text again. Being confident, Paul's confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's Christ who saved us from our sins, and not we ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. It's Christ who ever keeps us. No matter what comes at us in this world, no matter what we go through in this world, he keeps us, beloved. He keeps us. Amidst all the trials and tribulations of this life. And look at the first part of this verse. This is wonderful. Remember, Paul's very acquainted with the Philippians. He was used by God to start the work there in Philippi along with Timothy, Silas, and Luke. And so they're very well acquainted with the Philippians. They were there for a little while too, preaching the gospel. And look what he says here. This is wonderful. Being confident of this very thing. So he's specifically saying he's confident of something. He's confident of something. And what he's doing here too, he's bringing forth the reason for his joy and thanksgiving. This book has no censor in it at all. It's a book of joy, a book of thanksgiving. Right? He's in no way is he censoring the believers at Philippi. And he knows these folks. Like a preacher knows, and I don't say, I had one preacher one time, I asked him, I said, well, why don't you preach in Christ? And he says, well, I know my audience. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, never heard anything like that. I love the folks, you know, I love you guys, but I don't know inside. Now, there's evidence, and this is what Paul's talking about. There's evidence that we've been changed. And we're going to find out what the Greek word means here. And this is incredible. Because whosoever shall, we confess with our mouth, don't we, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We confess now who we are, sinners, hell-deserving sinners. But we brag on our Savior, don't we? We brag on the one who saved us from all our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. So he's bringing forth his thanksgiving and his joy and the reason for him making requests with thanksgiving for this church, the Philippians. And we see the reason is that God has done a good work in them. Isn't that wonderful? Paul, having been with them when the Lord saved them and continued in fellowship with them, until he had to flee, he, with confidence and full persuasion, believes that they're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And they will one day be glorified with Christ. Well, they're glorified with Christ now, aren't they? Oh, my. Now think of this too. In the Greek word here, confidence, it means this: to convince, to persuade. To convince. See, we read that and think confident. It means to convince, yeah. It means to persuade. And then this also was added to it, meaning to induce one by words to believe. They proclaimed that they had been saved from idols and by the power of God had been turned to serve the one true living God. They were born again, beloved. And they confessed the same Lord and Savior of their souls, Jesus Christ. You know, I was talking to my boy yesterday, and you all know that he doesn't confess Christ, but he said something. We were talking about how people say, I said to him, yeah, I was watching this video, and they were saying different things about what people say, and then they say, oh, you're saved now. And one of them was, just make Jesus Lord of your life. And he goes, wait, Dad, I've never understood that. Pray for him, because he's really, he says, I've never understood that. If God is God, then he's already Lord. And I said, yep, you're right, son. And he says, and so how would somebody make him Lord of their life if he's already Lord? And I said, you got it, son. It sounds like he's learning some stuff, eh? It's true, isn't it? He's already Lord. He's already God. And so these Philippians are confessing. Confessing the fact that they've been saved by the grace of God in and through Christ and his precious shed blood to redeem their eternal souls. And they now have repentance before God, along with faith, right? They've been given faith, and now they have repentance, too. They've repentance means a turning away, right? They've turned away from the idols they used to serve. And now they're serving the one true living God. Isn't that amazing? And that happens to every believer, doesn't it? That happens to every believer, beloved. It's wonderful. Let's read verse 6 again. Being confident, so being convinced, being persuaded to by their words of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul, again, brings forth again the reason for his joy and thanksgiving over the Philippian believers, because they've been born again, which is the good work in our text. They've been regenerated by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. They're now trusting for their salvation in Christ alone. And Paul's rejoicing over this fact. Let's read it again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now see the Greek, or see the word begin, or begun. See the word begun. Being confident this very thing, that he which hath begun, that word there means to begin, to make a beginning. See, we were dead. He's given us a new heart, hasn't he? A spiritual heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He's made it. He's made this. He's done this. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. So to begin, to make a beginning. See, and don't get me wrong, but sometimes in modern day preaching, they make the sinner the beginner. It's God who begins the good work in us. It's God who regenerates. We can't come to Christ. We can't even have faith in Christ until we're born again. And then God gives us faith, doesn't he, Brother Brian? It's a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It's all him. It's all him. My, oh my. Now take note of the word perform. Let's just put your finger back in. I'm sorry, I already had us turn, but keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 12. I went too far, too fast. Okay, so look back at Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. So that begun is to begin, to make a beginning, right? Will. There's no doubt there, is there? There's no human interaction in between that, is there? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek word there for perform, listen to this. This is wonderful. This will make your heart sing. Means to bring an end. To begin and to end. Who's doing the work? Someone tell me, who's doing the work? Christ is doing all the work, isn't he? God's doing all the work. He begun the work, and he's going to perform it, which means to bring it to an end. I'll tell you, this is the one most wonderful news for sinners. This is wonderful. It means, again, to bring an end, to accomplish. To accomplish. And you hear, listen to this word. Perfect. Perfect. And also this one. We say this all the time, Dave. Complete. Who are we complete in? Amen, brother. And Paul even wrote that to the Colossians. He said, ye are complete in Christ. See, the scripture means what the scripture means. It's only a fact of, do we believe what the scripture says? And I like what Norm says all the time. I'm going to keep saying it. If we'd only believe what the Word of God says. This can give us so much joy. This can give us so much hope. This can take all the pressure off of us. Now, we just live our life, don't we? Josh was telling me, he's listened to a guy who's a professing Christian, and he did a video on the book of Philemon. So it's one of the most underrated books in the Bible. People just skim right over it. And I said, yeah, it's actually a book of a kinsman or of redemption. Paul says, whatever he owes, put it on my account. I said, it's such a picture of redemption. And people just fly by it. But if God doesn't begin a work, we won't have any interest in it, will we? And if God is the one who does the saving, then salvation's of the Lord, right? It's not based upon man's performance. But we live a life. And what Josh was saying, he goes, I like listening to this fellow, Dad, because he does his work on the internet, and he also professes to be Christ. I said, he's normal, right? He's just a normal believer, right? And he goes, yeah. He doesn't have to put airs on. And I said, he already knows what we're all like. He says, you guys are the freest Christians I've ever met. Well, he knows something there, too, doesn't he? Somebody's taught him something. Because it's true. Isn't it? We're free, beloved. We're not antinomians, but we sure are free. We don't believe you can go out and do whatever you want. We won't want to do that. See, Paul's rejoicing in this wonderful fact, and this is what we should rejoice. When someone says they're born again, let us rejoice. Let us take them at their word and rejoice. Right? Not bring out a list of doctrinal things and say, well, do you believe this? And, you know, do you believe this? And do you believe, well, if they're professing they believe in Christ, let's rejoice. When I was a baby, I didn't know nothing, did you? We learned things, didn't we? As we grew and we learned and we grow. And the better teachers we had, the more we learned, right? Well, we have the best teacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Right? He guides us into all truth, right? Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, we are most blessed above all people in this world, God's people. It's wonderful. My, oh my. So now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And so we've seen in our text by the Greek words, right, begun and perform. We've seen right in our text that God, the good work, we know is regeneration, so God begins the work and God ends the work. Well, we're born again, we live through this world, and then what? When we're conformed to the image of the Son, he takes us home, doesn't he? It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And let us rejoice that he's purchased our eternal souls already. He's already purchased our souls. Sister D, he bought us with his blood. It's wonderful. It's already a work done. And then he works in us too to perform this good work, and what did the Lord say to you? This is amazing too. The Lord said, you must be born again. And then he does the work. You know why? He's not leaving nothing up to man. It's grace from beginning, grace in the middle, and grace all the way to the end. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? So we can rejoice. We can rejoice in this wonder of salvation. Look at this. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. The author. What does an author do? He starts and sits down and starts something. Starts a novel, right? And we've already seen that begun in our which is to make a beginning in our text, right? And then he says here, the author and the finisher. Well, we've already seen that with the word perform in the Greek means to complete. Look at that. Scripture, see, always people pull things out of context, but this scripture goes exactly with that scripture. Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. Looking unto Jesus, that's number one. We look to Christ, don't we, for our salvation. We be made willing in the day of God's power to look to Christ. The author, the beginner, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now this is part, Zane and I were talking about this on Wednesday night with Sister Diane. Look at this. The joy that was set before him. He's going to suffer on the cross. And he calls it the joy that was set before him. You know why? He's redeeming his bride. The love that he has for us, beloved, we can't even fathom it. It is so vast and so depthless, and you can't measure the width of it. And to redeem our eternal souls, he had to bear our sins at Calvary's tree, suffering the wrath of God in our place. And it says here, let's read that again. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is finished. That's good news, isn't it? Is that good news, beloved? That's good news. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. My, oh my. And I'm going to read our verse again. If you have your finger there, you can turn back there, because look at this too. Let's actually turn back there first. Look at this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Now, notice those words, in you. Look at this in Romans chapter 6, verses verses 1 to 9. We're being conformed to the image of Christ, right? Look at this. We'll read from 1 to 9. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we walk in the newness of life, don't we? We walk serving Christ and loving Christ. We don't go out and go crazy. We don't even desire to do the things that we used to do, except when the flesh starts battling against us, right? Against the Spirit. My. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old nature, beloved, is crucified with him. Crucified with him. That the body of sin might be, look at this, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We were servants of sin before we were born again. Before God did this good work in us, we were servants of sin. But look at this. This is wonderful. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We're dead in Christ. We died in Christ, beloved. That's what this is bringing forth. Isn't this wonderful? Look at this. See, remember, born once, die twice. If you're born again. Or no, born twice, die once. Die once. I got it all messed up. It's born once, die twice, and born twice, being born again, die once. Well, look at this. See, we died with Christ. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. What a hope we have. We have a hope that we are going to be with our King. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, again, let's go back to verse 6 of Philippians and tie this in there, too. Look at this. This is just wonderful. So we're being conformed to the image of the Son. We're walking in newness of life now as believers. In verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. God's begun this work. Christ has begun this work. Isn't that wonderful? Christ has done a work for us, and Christ has done a work in us. He died on the cross for us, and this verse brings forth that he's done a work in us. Right? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this in Ephesians. It's very familiar to all of us. But listen to this in light of this verse of being this work in us. Right? We can't do this work. It's an operation of God, beloved. You must be born again. Look at this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Right? It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But a lot of folks just stop right there. But listen to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship. See, Brother Cherry, he's begun that work in us, right? And he's continuing to do that work in us. And we're his workmanship. Isn't that, it's wonderful, isn't it, Sister Barbara? It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's the word begun, right, in our text. Created, to make something new. Created in Christ Jesus, being born again of the Holy Spirit of God, unto good works, walking in the newness of life, not even knowing when we're doing these things, right? Which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Also take note, let's read verse 6 again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This work of regeneration is called a good work. It's a work of which God himself is the author and the finisher of our faith. And rejoice, beloved of God. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. It's all his work. He's the wise master builder, isn't he? He's the wise master builder. And he's begun a work, and he's going to complete that work. And he's working in us. In us. But you know, did you know that the beginning of the good work of regeneration is in fact but the finishing of the first and original plan of God? Think of this. I got this from Robert Hawker. This is amazing. It's the finishing of the original purposes of God in election. God chose us in Christ. We were redeemed by Christ. And we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, and it's confirmed. Our election in Christ is confirmed by the redemption of Christ for us. And then it's sealed. And we, in time, space, we have the enjoyment and the knowledge of the fact that God chose us in Christ because we're born again. We didn't even know that before, did we? This is incredible. This is wonderful. What are some of the things we find out? Well, we find out that the love of God is an eternal love. The love of God the Father. And that his love for his people is an eternal love. An unchanging love. It doesn't change based upon who we are and how we are. It's eternal. Because he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He loved his sheep from eternity. And by this gracious act of being born again, what's called a good work in our text, God's children are bought into spiritual life, and then they discover, I've been chosen by God, as we grow and learn. We don't know that right off the bat. We don't understand all the precious doctrines when the Lord first saves us. Can we really fathom these precious truths as they are? We just sit back and marvel, don't we? Marvel. My, oh my. So think of this. God the Father chose a people in Christ before the world was. They've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ in the time state of the church, right? Because he made time and he came into time, beloved. He was outside of time and space. Came into time to redeem us. And then in time space, we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And then we're taken out of time into eternity. I'll tell you what. And Paul calls it a good work. You know why? Because it's beyond our comprehension. He can't even explain it. We can't even comprehend this wonderful work that God's done in us and for us. But it's true. And you know why it's incomprehensible? Because of its goodness and its greatness. Its greatness. Oh. And because it was God's will that this work would be done in us. My. So it's impossible, therefore, to be found in any kind of human worth because it's God working in us, right? There's no human worth in this at all, no merit. It's all God's grace to bestow this upon us. And this wonderful salvation, this wonderful regeneration which God has wrought in us is called a good work. You know what? Because I live, or because he lives, we're live. Praise his mighty, mighty name. Brother Jim, can you close us in prayer?